As towns large and small along the Ohio River try to attract more industry and create jobs, many are asking, is there room for river recreation? You know, the fun stuff like kayaking, fishing, and swimming. Glynis Board takes a look at how the region can balance seemingly opposite uses.
Business has been picking up in recent years for Tim Redinger. He owns a bait shop in Bridgewater, just north of Pittsburgh, along the Ohio River.
I want to show you something. Can you see that right there?
With a fishing rod in one hand, Redinger points from the bank to a nearby eddy in the river.
Those are baby shad, probably not a couple months old.
You can see a few industrial sites from Redinger's fishing spot, but he says it's nothing like it used to be when he was a kid 50 years ago.
That mountainside over there was orange at night. I mean, orange from all the blast furnaces and stuff rolling. Hey, it was dump city. Back then, no one cared.
But over time, many mills closed down, and the Clean Water Act limited pollution from those that remained. Redinger remembers it was more than a decade ago when the shad started showing up.
That tells you how good the water is. Say boo to them, they fall over dead. They will not live in contaminated water, anything whatsoever. And that, look at that, they're all through here.
The decline of industry was pretty devastating to the region's economy. Redinger says, the flip side though, more people are hanging out on the river here, and that's true in Pittsburgh too.
Scott Harrell, you're getting stroked out. Rocky Valley in two. Mark, you're true.
This is sound from the head of the Ohio, a fall regatta in Pittsburgh. It's just one of the many recreational activities on the river these days.
We've been working to make the riverfront accessible to everyone and really exciting cultural places for the city.
Nina Chase is an urban designer with a nonprofit called Riverlife. They've overseen development of a system of parks and trails along the riverfronts in Pittsburgh, but it hasn't been cheap. Chase says the $130 million spent is worth it.
That $130 million of investment has actually triggered $4.1 billion in investment in riverfront and adjacent riverfront development projects downtown.
Now Riverlife is trying to bring Pittsburgh's recreational vision downstream to smaller communities. They recently received a grant from the Benedum Foundation, which, by the way, also funded this series of radio stories. Chase says Riverlife is trying to encourage a culture of recreation all along the Ohio River. And they aren't alone. Tom Way has been trying to lead his downstream city of Steubenville, Ohio, in this same direction. Standing by the river, Way says many towns like his are still struggling economically from the downturn in the steel and coal industries. They're trying to figure out what's next.
As the communities search for identities, there's opportunity for growth and direction in areas of outdoor recreation, art, food diversity, cultural diversity.
A few years ago, he founded the Urban Frontier Organization to promote this type of creative economic development in the Upper Ohio Valley. His goal is to reactivate forgotten or neglected assets, including the river itself. One thing he's pushing, water sports.
We're working on a project now to bring non-motorized watercraft rentals and adaptive paddling to the region.
Now, by adaptive paddling, he means kayaks, canoes, and rafts. Cheap ways to get people enjoying the river. And there are other projects like this along the Ohio River. But can recreation and tourism really be an economic driver? There is not a lot of research on the economic impacts of river recreation in the Ohio Valley. But further downstream, on the Mississippi River in Iowa, nature-based recreation is one of the state's largest industries. Rivergoers spend $1.5 billion a year there. But the Ohio River still has the stigma as one of the dirtiest waterways in the country. And more towns are interested in rebuilding it around industry, not recreation. Shell is building a new ethane cracker in Beaver, Pennsylvania, and two other cracker plants are being considered in the region. New spinoff industries are already gearing up. Riverlife's Nina Chase says, just as in Pittsburgh, though, there's room on the river for industry and recreation. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
You have to be creative with land use and points of access that you can have both and you can have them work well.
Back on the river in Bridgewater, PA, bait shop owner Tim Redinger is banking on it. He's only a few miles downstream from where Shell's ethane cracker is being constructed. But when he looks at the baby shad in the water, he smiles at how clean the water has become.
That's a great sign. You see that? Life is good.
With West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board, reporting for the Allegheny Front.